community.
That is a very important issue. It's an issue that I think we need to learn a little bit more about, and that we need to, in a deeper way, work into being better about being community. We learn how to stand on our own and how to do our own thing and take care of ourselves. But the truth is, I can't take care of every need I have. I don't have the power, the energy, or the ability to do everything. I want you to listen to this scripture that comes from Acts. Acts, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. The story speaks deeply about community. And it speaks deeply about somebody understanding how important community is. Dorcas, or her Aramaic name, Tabitha, they both mean gazelle. Fast and swift of feet. Wonderful lady. She had some wonderful talents. If you hear about her talents there in the scripture, she made things out of material. Whether it be robes and clothes for other people. And she made them as gifts to them. Mainly to the other widows. Mainly to those who didn't have a husband to take care of them anymore. You see, the very first thing that we see in this story is that Dorcas was able to see and understand the needs of the community. She knew what these widows needed. She was able to see that, and she was able to recognize that in such a way and to say, you know what? I have gifts and talents and skills that'll fit these needs. God had showed to her what the needs were, and she willingly stepped forward and said, I'll do something about these needs. It wasn't just about her. It was about helping those who had some needs. In our society now, sometimes we might be able to see the needs. And then oftentimes we feel like we can't meet them, or we feel like we don't want to. Sometimes we recognize the needs in other people and we turn our heads away and look in a different direction. As though if we look away, the needs will be taken care of somehow mysteriously. I'm a firm believer, and I said this in our morning time, in the Principles of Faith time this morning. I'm a firm believer that when God allows you to see the needs, that God is asking you to participate in helping to solve those needs. Otherwise, why did God ask you to be aware of what's going on? It's not for you to go and find another Dorcas and find out who can fit those needs. God says, I'm showing it to you. And I want you to be involved there. And you see, Dorcas was very good about this in that she could see the needs of the ladies around her. You see, once they became widows, the community of faith was supposed to take care of them. Not always did that happen. But from the very beginning of how God established things, God was always asking for the community of faith to take care of those who had needs. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. But in this case, it did. And you see, the second thing that Dorcas knew was she knew her gifts and talents. And she used them for the community's needs. It was not just seeing the needs. She realized that in seeing them, that she had gifts and talents that could be used to meet those needs. And she realized that God was asking her to be involved. And God was asking her to take part. I have the gifts and talents, and I see the needs, and I can put those things together. And I can help those who are in need. We can see in what happens here how her compassion and caring did a complete, utterly astounding thing. You see, her care and compassion for others, she reflected out to them, and it ended up being reflected back to her. Just as she had taken care of the widows, they wanted to take care of her. She dies, and they place her in the upper room, and they prepare her body for burial. But yet they find out that Peter is in a town nearby, and they send two men to get Peter and come quickly. Now, to understand the fullness of the story here, you've got to understand a little bit about Jewish theology. Their theology was that when someone died, that the spirit, the soul of their body, stayed around the body for 3 days before it left. And there was a chance within those 3 days that that soul could enter the body again and come back alive. That was their understanding. She has died. Go get Peter and tell him he must come quickly. Because after that 3-day period, they didn't think it was possible any longer. They go and get Peter, and Peter comes, and look at what happens. The community shares with Peter the enormous gifts that she had made. They tell him stories about how faithful she has been to meet their needs and to help them, to encourage them, to lift them up. Peter sends them all out of the room, and it says that he kneels down and he prays, and he gets up and he looks at her and says, Tabitha, get up. And she opens her eyes and sees Peter, and she gets up. And then he presents her to the rest of the community. A miracle. An incredible story. But why did this story happen? This story happened because her caring and compassion flowed from her and to her because of her service. Her caring and compassion flowed out from her to help other people, but it also flowed back to her in their care and concern about her, and that's why they ran and got Peter. We care about her. She's a dynamic, wonderful part of the community, and we must have her alive again. Now, did they say that to Peter? No. They just told their stories. And Peter had them escorted out of the room, and he prayed. And God honored that prayer, and Dorcas lived among them again. You see, the important things for me in this story is that, one, that Dorcas can see the needs. She can recognize them. And she realizes that in recognizing them, that God's asking her to be part. And then she takes value in her skills and talents, and she realizes that her skills and talents match up with the needs that she saw. And she does something about it. She just doesn't sit back and say, "I wish I could sew better." She does something about it. She takes action. And that care and concern that she exhibits for the community comes back to her. Now let me bring this to our day. Our community has needs. Our faith community has needs. Our community at large that we live within has needs. Would you agree with that? There are multiple and tremendous needs within our faith community, and there are multiple and tremendous needs within our community at large. And I want to be bold enough to say that God is helping you to see those needs. Amen? Do you not recognize that there are needs? The next thing that you need to be becoming even more aware of: what are your skills, your gifts, your talents, your abilities? What are those things that God has given you to live your Christian life? What has God gifted you with in such a way that it might meet some of the needs that you're seeing? Do you see where I'm going with this? Because I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about being able to recognize and see the needs, whether it be in our faith community or whether it be in the community at large? And recognizing your gifts and skills and talents. I wish all of you had been there this morning in Principles of Faith, because it steps right off of where we were this morning. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I am also a firm believer in the fact that God helps you to see the needs. God gives you gifts and talents. God will also give you the strength and the power to take action. And if you'd been there this morning, and those that were will remember, we talked about this. There are numerous scriptures that talk about, "Well, I'm too weak and I can't do that. I don't have the strength to be able to do that." And the scriptures say what? "I can do." And it also says in the scriptures that God chooses the weak and the foolish to do God's jobs. Now, that's not the best business plan in the world. If I were to set up a business, it would not be about hiring the weak and the foolish. That's not a way to be successful, is it? That's what God does. So when you say, "I see the needs, I know my gifts, but I can't do it, I don't have any way to do it," that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say if God allows you to see the needs and you know that you have the gifts and the talents, that God will give you the ability, the strength to do exactly what needs to be done. You see, we should be aware of our gifts and talents and seek to use them for the needs that we see. We should be aware of our gifts and talents and seek to use them for the needs that we see. It should never work like this. Well, Pastor, the other day I saw this as a need, and I saw that we need to do this, and this needs to happen, and it would help these number of people. Pastor, I think you need to find somebody that can do that. My first question might be to you, why did God allow you to see the need? Is it because maybe you've got the gifts and talents that can fit that need? Because I'm the kind of person that just might look at you and say, you have my permission, go do it. Because God showed it to you. And God is bringing it to you for a reason, to organize something, to do something, to take action, to step out, and to help the community, whether it be the community of faith or the community at large. Now, does that mean that you can do it automatically right off the bat? No, there's going to be some trial and error about learning your skills and your gifts. My wife is one who takes perfectly good pieces of material, wonderful, beautiful pieces of material, and cuts it in very little pieces and sews it all back together to have another piece of material. I can't understand that. The first one was pretty good. Why cut it up and sew it back? My wife quilts, by the way, in case you haven't figured that out. And she enjoys doing her quilting. But I've also watched her through the years undo things that she has done and redo them. You see, she's got skills and gifts and abilities to do that. But she had to learn how to do that. And she had to learn how to put those things together. And sometimes they don't go together just right. Amen? Still learning. Folks, when God shows us a need, we may not be able to meet it immediately. But when God shows us a need, God is also telling us, I'm giving you an ability to do something about this. Not to go find somebody else to do something about it. I'm giving you the ability to do this. Are you aware of the gifts and talents that God has given you? On the other side of that coin, I will say this. When you live into the gifts and talents that God has given you, and you learn how to use them, blessings expound. Amen. Blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings happen. But without using your skills and gifts and talents, you'll never see the blessings. I can guarantee that. I'll probably never win the lottery. Never. I don't play. If I don't play, I'm guaranteed to never win, correct? Guaranteed. If I don't use my gifts and skills and talents, I'm guaranteed never to receive the blessing that comes from them. I am absolutely guaranteed. The biggest thing as a pastor that I want to help you do is never miss the blessings that God has for you. Never. I don't have the ability to tell you all the blessings that I have received by using my skills and gifts and talents that God has given me. They're piled up far and high and wide and long and deep. I have no way of being able to tell you every one of them. One, we just don't have the time. Even if we stayed here all week, we wouldn't have the time. It's that far, that wide, that deep, that long. What gifts and talents has God given you? What gifts and talents has God given you? Are you using them for the community of faith, or are you holding on to them because, oh, I might need it someday? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're holding on to them, you're missing blessings. And other people are missing blessings also. Look at what happened in the case with Dorcas. Do you see it? She saw a need in the community. She said, I've got some skills and gifts and talents I can use to meet that need. Let me do something about it. She dies. And the ladies say, she is so meaningful to us. She has been so good to us. By using her abilities, we have to do something for her. And Dorcas lives again because of what they do. I'm bold enough to say that when we live our gifts and skills and talents in the kingdom of God to meet the needs that we see, someone else will live because we've done that. Someone else will experience joy. Someone else will experience life. Someone else will experience blessings because we have done what God asked us to do by stepping out in faith and taking a risk and taking a chance. Do you realize that? Folks, this is how important community is. And this is how important you using your gifts and skills and talents in the community of God and in the community of Withville. Someone else will experience life when you recognize a need and use your skills to meet that need. Someone else will be blessed. Every time that we've sung Precious Memories since Wednesday night, there's one memory that keeps coming back to me. And I keep saying, save that for next week's sermon. Because next week's sermon's about love. But I want to share it with you. Because it's about somebody using their gifts and skills and talents to make a difference. In my home church, at one point in time for a year, I was the director of the men's ministries. Otherwise, at that time, known as the Brotherhood. One of the things that the Brotherhood did was we had monthly meals and we had monthly projects that we worked on to help people out. But one of the things that was a long carried on tradition was that whoever was the leader of the men's ministry would send out birthday notes to the men in the church who had a birthday. The man that was my secretary, his name was Jack Giuliano. I never did find out, I don't even know what Jack's real name was. Everybody just called him Jack, and I do not think that was his first name. Jack, who was the secretary, he would prepare all these birthday cards for the men each week. On Wednesday night after supper, him and I would walk into the sanctuary and he would hand them to me so that I could hand sign every one of them. And I remember telling Jack one week, Jack, it's okay with me if you just sign my name and send them out. I'm okay with that. And Jack looked at me and said, no. I want you to sign them. So I continued to meet Jack every week, wishing at some point in time that he would take care of signing them and just mail them out. I'm so thankful that Jack never did that. Such a kind and a loving small man. He was not very tall. And because of his continued every week, for a whole year, him and I sat down for at least 5 or 10 minutes. I really learned how to share love with somebody else. Because part of it was Jack wanted to love on me and help me to see how much God loved me. But also part of it was that Jack wanted me to express my love through taking the time to sign each card. To this day, I still send out cards. A couple every week. I think everybody, almost everybody in here has probably received at least one from me. And I continue to do that. But as we sang Precious Memories and talked about going to the other shore, I can't wait to see Jack again. Because there was a man that used his gifts and skills and talents just to share love. That made a tremendous difference in my life. And I never got a chance to tell him. Because at one point he was put in the hospital and he was put in isolation. And only the family was allowed to come to see him. And he died in the hospital. And I never got to go to him and say, Jack, thank you for using your gifts and your skills and your talents to teach me how to love. I'll get to see him on that other shore one day. And I'm willing to bet he's going to be standing there waiting to love on me even more. My youngest son's middle name is Jack, by the way. Because I never want to forget Jack Giuliano. Wonderful, small, little Italian man that taught me how to love by using his gifts and his skills and his talents. You see, when we serve God, we are serving God when we use our abilities to meet other people's needs. We serve God when we do that. We serve God when we use our abilities to meet the needs that we see. How can you use your abilities to reach others' needs and thus serve God? Or maybe I'll even ask it this way too. Will you use your abilities to meet other people's needs? It's not just about you. It's about the community of faith. It's about the community outside this church. Unless we do that, they will never see the love of God. I'm thankful for those who took the time to teach me that love. Can you do the same for somebody else? Let's pray. Lord, it's not easy being your disciples. It is a difficult and a hard thing. And sometimes in the midst of living in community, we just want to insulate ourselves We want to step back from all the needs that are happening and all that's going on so that we might have what we call a moment of peace. Lord, help us to see that peace and to see that sometimes that peace happens in the midst of being part of the community. Lord, Dorcas brought incredible peace to the widows that she ministered to just through sewing. And they brought peace to her also. Help us to learn that same thing, that we might be willing to use who we are, what you've given us, to meet the very needs that you allow us to see, so that something might happen in someone's life for them to be alive, for them to know blessings also. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.